And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio. Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado, as we talk Detroit Lions. Hello, Mike.
Aficionado?
Aficionado. Every week I'll give you a new name.
Oh, I like aficionado. I don't think you can top that one.
I'm sorry. Mike O'Hara, something that has not happened for years and years and years and years and years has happened. The Detroit Lions have started 5-1 consecutive seasons. I think since they moved here from Portsmouth, this has not happened.
Yeah, it's the first time. It's the only time that they've done it. Isn't that correct?
You know, that's right. You know what that means, though, don't you?
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Besides having winning records for 2 years, you know what that means? You've built a program. It's beyond a one-season thing. It's beyond,
absolutely.
This is how the Patriots felt for years. You know, they expected this. Now you're getting into the realm where you're expected to win. And that's, I don't ever remember a team in my lifetime that I can remember that you would go in expecting to win. There were teams you thought could win, but you've reached the point now where expectations are you're winning unless something goes wrong.
Right. I've brought this up before about the 1990s when the Detroit Lions didn't win everything, but they won a lot. They won, 1991, they made the playoffs. In the 93, 4, and 5, they made it again. And in 97, they made it. In 99, they made it. They never got anything out of it, really, except the first time when they made it to the conference final and got just absolutely waxed by Washington. But you're right. This is something new, and it's real, and it's, I think it's the way the Lions are. I don't think it's a fluke at all.
Yeah. But the Lions, even during that 90s, the 91 season came out of nowhere because they weren't winning the year before, and they went right to the top, won the division.
Right. They went exactly right.
And those 93, 94 teams, they were expected to try to win the division, but they were never favored for the conference. The 92 team might have been favored, but they had the bad luck and whatever and didn't work out. And then after that, they were fighting, Minnesota back then and fighting Green Bay for, to get in the first place or get in the playoffs. But this team, like I said, is the first team where your program is set and your goal is the number one team in the conference. That's why this is different to me.
No, and I agree with you that in the 90s, they won the division twice in 1991 and in 1993. They just edged out the Packers for the NFC Central, I think we called it at that time, for first place there. But they just couldn't really sustain anything, and they couldn't make anything out of it.
Yeah. Well, I have to do my mea culpa today, too, because I didn't think Minnesota was as good as they were what I saw yesterday. I thought they were just, living on bad team playing and a couple of good wins at home. But I looked over that game yesterday. They're not as good as a 5-0 team to me. I'm sorry, they just aren't. But they're a solid team, and I can see how they got to where they were. They impressed me more yesterday than they did in the first 5 weeks, even though they lost.
No, I thought they were a good team, but let's put it this way. I think the better team won Sunday.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I'm just,
no doubt about
that. We're just talking about Minnesota.
I know.
I'm just saying that I thought Minnesota going into the year would have been the fourth team in the division, maybe the third, with Chicago being fourth. But so far, from what I've seen, they're the second best team in the division to me. I think they're better than Green Bay.
I think the Packers are a little bit up and down still, and maybe they'll smooth out between now and the end of the season. But I'd agree with you. I think that they just look a little bit more reliable than the Packers do right now.
Yeah. But they're older, too, in the defense and whatever. And as the long season goes on, like I said, let me have my room to change my mind as we go on, because I think they're an older team, and I think they're going to fade defensively toward the end of the year, where Green Bay is a younger team, and they may get better. So we'll see what happens. But right now, they both looking up to the Detroit Lions. And I'm going to tell you, Mike, I thought that game shouldn't have been that close yesterday. And it was a close game, and they had to win it at the end. But there were a couple plays in there and a couple things that happened that I think kept Minnesota in the game. And one of them was, can we stop with the fake punt?
No.
That's what you
I like it.
That's what you do. Okay, well, from the 20 and 30s, can we stop with it then? Because that's what you do when you got a team and you got to get possessions and your team's not that good or your defense is not that good and you got to, you know, try to get extra possessions. But you should not be gambling like that when you don't have to. And I didn't like that. Got them down early. And they could have put them out the game, but they're a strong-willed team. And they came right back after being down 10-0. I thought that was impressive.
Yeah, it certainly was. You know, when it's 10-0, I thought, well, God, this is, you know, maybe they're not as good as we think. And but the next thing you know, in another blink, it's 21-10.
Right. And I was thinking when it was 10-0, Baltimore game of last year. Oh, here we go. It's going to be one of those 35-3 games, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as I'm telling you, this team is hardened. They've been close to the mountaintop. They know how to get there. There's no panic in this team. There's no quitting this team. And they just go about their business, and that's what I like about them.
How much do you think that comes from the quarterback, Jared Goff?
About 2%. No, I don't know.
2%?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. I think it comes from the coach. I think it all comes. I tell you what. I think Jared Goff's confidence and Jared Goff's play comes from the coach. And I'm not saying the coach is out there just showing him what to do, but I think the coach's belief in him and the coach's, you know, what they put on him. It's not like Sean McVay where I'm calling the offense, I'm the greatest thing, I know what I'm doing. You're my puppet. You do what I say and we'll get you there. Dan Campbell says, you're the leader of this team. I got all the faith in you. You and Ben Johnson, I believe in what you do and go out and do it.
But also, you know, that first couple of years that you know, the coach and quarterback were together here in Detroit, you know, Campbell, numerous times when he was at the podium after a game, he was saying that he wanted Goff to take credit. You know, he wanted him to be more forceful, and I think that's done, you know, wonders for both of them.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think that Jared has evolved in these 3 years to it's his team. You know, look, you know, everybody listen to this podcast. You know, I wasn't the biggest Jared Goff guy, but even I will admit, and I admitted it last year, that this is his team now. They will rise and fall as he goes, and that's just the way it is now. The team believes in him. The coach believes in him. The fans now believe in him. The organization believes in him. So we can move forward. There's no question. He's here.
No, I would agree with that. And then look, and he can really throw the ball. He's a lot better than I thought he was.
And I'm gonna say this. I hate to do it. You know, Matt Stafford was my boy.
Yep.
Like
same here. Same here.
Jared Goff for the Lions. His Lion years are better than Stafford's, and Stafford had some good play.
Whoa.
I'm just putting it out there. Now if he goes in the tailspin the next 4 years, it might even up. But as of right now, Goff's years here are better than Stafford's overall. I'm not talking numbers. I'm not talking, you know, great, you know, what do you call them, highlight plays. I'm just talking about a steady quarterback and a winning quarterback. That's what you got here.
So when you see what he's done, you know, he had that game where he was 18 for 18. He was 22 for 25. And
right.
Sunday, when does he start moving up in the way he's regarded nationally, not just here in Detroit?
Well, I think that's coming now. I think after because he's like in his last, what he says, last three games, he's over 70-something% completions for that.
And oh, more than that. Yeah, 80-something,
and something for 70-something for the season. So he's, you know, he's moving up, and he's going to – the only reason why he hasn't moved up so far is because he's not spectacular on the run. He doesn't have a Lamar Jackson run, or he doesn't have a Matt Stafford 50-yard dart, or, you know, the throw. But
right.
Yeah, but everything else, I mean, look at the – I'm going to tell you a perfect play yesterday that will show you what they think of Jared Goff. The touchdown to St. Brown.
Yes.
Just the way he feathered that and put it right in his breadbasket or, you know, walking in the end zone with a guy there. And he had to, like, hold the ball because the guy was swatting at his arm and he stepped up, made the throw.
Yep.
Okay, that might not make the highlight film of the NFL this week or whatever, but that play epitomized, to me, Jared Goff's play.
Yeah, he got it to him before he went, before he could step out of bounds at the back end of the
right.
And yeah, that was a small part of that play, but an important part.
And he made one bad throw to Khalif Raymond, which could have been a touchdown. He just led him too far out of bounds.
Yep.
But that was the only bad throw I saw him make out of those three misses, and he's been good. Now, the question comes, though, should Jahmyr Gibbs get more time? I am so impressed with Jahmyr Gibbs' whole season, let alone this game. But you had a game where Montgomery got hurt and then, you know, was not really effective as he has been in other games. Jahmyr Gibbs just picked up the mantle, man, and just ran with it. And he's a special player, Mike.
Yeah, he really is. And this is a perfect position for, I think, for any team to have two quality running backs of that value that those two have to this team.
I'm calling it right now. He's better than Alvin Kamara.
Okay, well.
Right now. I'm calling it.
Well, I got to admit, wasn't thinking about him at this stage of the.
Alvin Kamara, to me, is the back that you, to me, that they are the same. Because when Kamara first got there, he had the Heisman Trophy winner from Flint, you know, his name escapes me, from Alabama. That was their one, too.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, the one that's on the Fox college show now. Anyway. They had those two. I know the name will come to me in a minute. But they had those two. That was their, you know, their yin and their yang. This team, Montgomery Gibbs, is their yin and yang. And like I said, he's just electric. You get the ball in his hands on a pass or in the run game. And he's a better runner than I thought he was. Mark Ingram was the one I was thinking about, Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
He was a better runner than I thought coming out of college. I thought he was a guy that you had to just get him to the edge and he would do sweeps, whatever. He's a good inside runner, man. He's good. And go ahead.
Yeah, he can create his own space out there. He really can.
And he doesn't have to carry the ball 30 times a game in his offense, which will save him. He'll play a long time. But, man, they're good. This team was so good offensively that Jameson Williams only got one ball yesterday for -4. And you wouldn't even have known he was out. Let me look at LaPorta. I don't think LaPorta got that many balls yesterday. Sam LaPorta got two balls yesterday. One big catch for 25 yards. But I'm saying, they're not even having to go to guys. I saw this stat that Brock Bowers has caught so-and-so, and he's on his way to the rookie record, and he's got 43 catches or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I wonder who got the rookie record. I went and looked it up, and it's like Sam LaPorta from last year.
Yeah.
You know, except for they're 2-5. So the Raiders are 2-5. So anyway, the offense is doing good. I do want to talk about the defense, Mike. Played an inspiring game yesterday, but Aiden Hutchinson's loss will have an effect over the rest of the season. And you might not saw yesterday. I think you did see yesterday, but they were able to cover up. They pretty good. They, you know, all hands on deck yesterday. But they're going to have to do something, hopefully by the trade deadline or something, just to get – it doesn't have to be, the main guys, the Max Crosby or, you know, the Cleveland player, Garrett. But they do have to add, another pass rusher, at least one, maybe two.
Yeah, if they could just get somebody the level of Marcus Davenport, the guy who they signed and expected him to play that role, then that would be good. I think that would be a good get. Now, I don't know if you get that type of player. They're available now, but that's, to me, if they just added a Marcus Davenport, who's out, you know, for the season with an injury, then I think they'd be in good shape.
I was really hoping that James Houston yesterday would have stepped up a little bit and shown something, but he had a couple of good rushes. But besides that, I just thought I thought Trevor Nowalski, to me, was more impressive yesterday from the pass rush than James Houston was. And I'm looking at James Houston's snap count yesterday. He had, where are we at here? 9 snaps. He really didn't play that much. He only had 9 snaps. I think
he never does.
And in the post game, they talked, Campbell talked about how the guys all stepped up, you know, to make up for Hutchinson's loss and how they had to do it by committee, blah, blah, blah. Didn't he mention James Houston's name? So I don't know, Mike, but if the writing ain't on the wall, it's damn sure there's a spray can sitting by the wall.
Okay.
But I just don't see – look, in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be some roster moves, and there's going to be some guys coming, and there's going to be some guys going, and there's going to be some guys that go to the practice squad. There's going to be some practice squad guys that come up.
There's going to be some guys on injured reserve who didn't know they were hurt.
Yeah, and I'm just looking out, and I'm just saying I didn't see anything from Houston, and he's got a couple more weeks, man, to show me something or show them something, not show me something because I'm not the coach, but –
The last 2 years haven't shown much.
No, not at all. I'm going to tell you some people that are not being talked about on defense, though. And the statistics are just good, but they don't stand out when you look at them. But I think Jack Campbell is playing some damn good football.
Yep, he is. I'd agree. Yep.
Damn good football. And he's not missing tackles. He's that tackle-to-tackle box, Mike, that is tight. They're not a lot of runs. That one run that Aaron Jones had, that was on the D-back. That was on Trev Arnold missed his assignment, and he got around the end. But you don't see with Reeder, Campbell, Anzalone, McNeil, that's a tight inside. And if you can't run inside, you're going to have a long day against the Lions.
No, I would agree with that. I think they're more than what you're talking about. They're more than strong enough up the middle to be in good shape for the rest of the season, assuming they stay healthy. But I think getting another pass rusher.
The pass rusher situation has got to be addressed. I'm just wondering how much do you go in all in on this team now, Mike? Do you do things that you might not want to do, or does Brad Holmes stick to his plan on, you're adding players with lower draft picks or player swaps. But, I mean, what would you do?
That's a great question. I would try to get somebody who's maybe close to his contract year. In other words, plan for next year and try to enhance his contract situation. That's what I would look for, because you're going to get a guy who's going to give it everything he's got, because his career is at stake. That's what I would look for. Now, do I know the name of that person? Somebody whose name just stands out right now? Not really, not from my perspective. But that's, I have every confidence that Brad Holmes can, if that person exists, he can find him.
Yeah, he'll find somebody. It might not be a name everybody's talking about, because Max Crosby and Myles Garrett, only two names everybody has on their mind, but it could be somebody else, and I'm fine with it. Just get another pass rusher or two. If you can get two, mid-level guys to come in just for the rest of the year, and that'd be fine. But they got to do something there. And also, I got to see Broderick Martin or one of those big, the big nose tackles get back in there too, because Pico's loss, I kind of saw it a little yesterday, too. Anzarike, I didn't remember his name being called yesterday. I say he played 25 snaps, but I didn't hear from him. He might have played. I got to look on the film and see where he played. But I would like to address that. Also, coming up, Mike, you got to make a call on Melifonu, too. If he's going to be injured every year, man, what good is he to you?
Well, he was healthy last year. I think he was.
He was hurt last year, though. Yeah. Remember, he started the season hurt. He came on at the end. I think he missed the first part of last season. And the years before, don't even talk about that one, because he even missed those years. He's just not reliable, man. And, I want to get him back in there for that third safety role. I hope that, he had that Achilles ankle thing. And I hope it's, after the four games, he had four games off originally. Then they put him on IR. So, the second half of the season, I hope to see him, because I think you're going to need him at the end, because I like this. You got Branch and you got Kirby Joseph, which is great. I'd like to see him, Melifonu, get back there like he did last year, because he would blitz a lot. Remember, he would help out on that pass rush.
Well, one thing, when you mentioned Brian Branch, he's a guy I think can almost cover the field himself.
I was going to get to him in a second, because I'm going to tell you, if you remember from our first podcast of the year when I said who was going to be the player that was going to impress this year. Remember, I think me and you said Branch. Right?
Yep.
I believe Branch was the one we said. And I'll tell you right now, he's playing better than even I thought then. Because I was worried that the move to safety, he might take some time to acclimate himself to it. But I'm going to tell you this one thing. I'll never forget this from the draft. Go back to the draft. If you had the ABC version of the draft, Go back when Terry Arnold was picked, and they had Nick Saban on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick said, you put Terry Arnold on the outside, you put Brian Branch as the star, which is what he played for me, and the star in the defense is usually the safety, the moving safety. And he said, you got everything covered. He said, Branch is the – you put him at that star position, and you ain't nothing to worry about. And he's right. He is right.
That play, Kenny, he made yesterday to knock the ball out of the carrier's hands and pick it up and race into the end zone for what I thought was a touchdown.
Yeah.
I did not agree with that call at all.
Well, there was no definitive, and you should go call on the field. That's the only thing. It was close. I'm not going to argue that.
Right.
But there was no definitive view, so how are you going to overturn the call on the field?
Right, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
But that would have been talk of the day. That and the punt, if they had a loss, would have been talk of the day, the fake punt.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, now that it didn't happen, you just move on with it. So those were good question marks. Next week, I just don't want any letdown. You're playing a not good team coming into your place.
Yeah.
You put the blade down on them, as Lomas would say. Put the blade down on them, step on them, get them out of there beforehand. Put the blade down on them and get them out there before halftime, you know. And so make no doubt of what's going on. But like I said, Mike, 4-1. Remember I told you if you win 3 of every 4 for each quarter, you got at least a 12-4 season with one game left. They only got to get 1 of the next 2 for their second quarter to be 3-1. And 3 of their 4 games are road games. So I'm impressed already. Now, if they want to take all 4, I'm not going to argue with them. If they want to just go to Green Bay after they win here. And I think the Green Bay game is a Thursday night game, too. Am I right? Or is that the second time they play Green Bay is a Thursday game?
I don't know. I'd have to look.
Yeah, but they play Green Bay at away Tennessee this week. So I'm looking for good things this week. And that's Brad Holmes. I don't think there's going to be a trade at the deadline either. I think it's going to be a trade sooner than later. I guess there's only 2 weeks left, so it'll have to be this week or next week. But I think teams now, because with Adams being traded and Amari Cooper being traded, they're not going to wait around to the deadline. They're just going to start moving guys.
Well, those guys are a little bit different than the area that we're looking at for Detroit, though. I don't think they're looking for anybody such a high tempo athlete that we're talking about there.
No, I'm just saying teams aren't going to just wait around to the last minute, right? Because when they want to get rid of your salary or they want to get those picks, they want to get them as soon as they can. And there's no sense waiting till the last minute like baseball and, you know, 30 minutes before the deadline, everybody's on the phone. Football, you know, you want them at the beginning of your work week anyway. You want to get them in so they can play that week if they had to and work that way. So I think you might see something this week. This is me. This is the Ken Brown talking. I think you might see something this week.
I actually agree with you. Ken Brown has arrived at a new level.
Wow.
No, but that makes sense, though. You know, if you're going to get him, get him as soon as you can. There's no reason to wait.
Yep. All right, Mike, so that's it there. Any last thoughts on the 5-1 Detroit Lions? Are they the best team in the NFC?
Yes, I think they are.
Are they the best team in the NFL?
No.
You still got Kansas City as the best team right now?
Kansas, until proven otherwise.
Okay. Well, that's where you have that is your marker you have to get over then, Kansas City. And you'll get your chance because, like I said, that AFC is loaded with some good teams. That's not going to be a cakewalk coming out of there. The NFC right now, San Francisco to me is stuttering badly. And I knew after 3 or 4 years of playing deep in the playoffs, guys start getting hurt, guys aren't getting paid, guys are getting older. I think that Kansas City and Trent Williams, one of your better players, is what, he's 35, 36 years old or whatever. You know, it starts to take its toll. That's why the Lions is young, they dumb, they don't know what they don't know, and they just play, and I like it that way.
I'd take the dumb part out.
Well, when I say dumb, I mean they don't have people telling them what they can't do. You know, don't disrespect now if you're out there. When I said dumb, I meant dumb like – they can't be told they can't do anything, and that's a good dumb. So let them be out there. I like this team. I like the style. I like the makeup of this team. I like where they're going, and we're just going to sit back and enjoy the weeks, Mike.
You know what, Kenny, from ownership on down to whoever does the most menial job over there at Ford Field, this is really an operation that's really running strong right now.
That's it. All right, we'll talk to you later this week. We didn't do a prediction last week because we had some technical difficulties last Friday, and we couldn't get it done. But I'm going to tell you right now, I had predicted that the Lions will win 31-29. I'm sorry I didn't get it out, but that was my prediction.
Well, mine was 39-19, so I was off.
You're not getting the joke, Mike.
I got it.
You're not getting the joke that I said I was predicting 31-29.
I got it. That was the score.
You're not getting the joke. Yes, I predicted 31-29, and they would win on a field goal. Oh, give me some Jake Bates love before we walk out of here, too. The guy in UFL that you looked at from the USFL and called it a garbage league, and they were, it doesn't mean anything, nothing translate. This kid has stepped up. Give him some props.
Next time I see you.
I like it. You know what, though, Mike? In all seriousness, though, once you make one game winner and once you go on a little run like that, that confidence can just take you. Because, like I said, in training camp, man, I thought he was going to kill somebody in the stands when he was kicking, the way they were flying all over the place.
Yeah, and he was one of the first players to get a ball from Campbell yesterday, too, in the locker room.
That's
so
right.
That was pretty cool.
That's right. And if you haven't seen the Dan Campbell press conference, locker room celebrations, go look at one. Yesterday's was one of the ones for the ages. So you'll see it online. Go look it up. Dan was in his glory yesterday.
And even higher than usual.
Yeah, it was one of the better ones. So go watch that one. All right, that's Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado, and Ken Brown, WGR. And Alex Anzalone, 4:30 this afternoon on Monday. We will talk about this game. We'll talk to Anzalone about the 5-1 Detroit Lions. So tune in to the WGR Mitch Albom Show. Mike, see you Friday for our prediction.
All right, Ken.